man. Just let's pray. Father God, I pray that Holy Spirit, you have the words that you speak and that you be glorified. Let the anointing of God come, Lord, because it says by the anointing, Jesus breaks the yoke. And that's what the message that you've given me today, that Jesus breaks the yoke in our lives, through our lives, not just once, but forever. You know, Jesus, it says Jesus came to set us free from strongholds in our minds, strongholds of lies, strongholds of deceit, strongholds of fear, and strongholds of control. Today, the definition in Webster's dictionary is, if you look at strongholds, it's a place, fortified place. It's a place of security and survival. It's a place dominated by a particular group or a particular characteristic. Yet, all that there means nothing because it says Jesus sets us free. I was one of those people who was going around in circles. I was self-seeking. I was unruly. I was pacifying my own thoughts and my desires, my pleasures and my lusts. I thought I was totally and completely free, doing my own thing. I was oblivious to anything else around me. How unwise was I to believe that lie? But I did. Over and over and over and over again, I believed a lie. When Jesus Christ came into my heart as Lord and Savior, I experienced for the first time ever freedom. We always know of the term freedom because if we've looked at Braveheart and Wallace shouts out when he's being hung, drawn, and quartered, and he's given a word to say, and he shouts, freedom! Because he wasn't willing to be controlled. He wasn't willing to lay down and be subservient or anything like that there. But he shouted freedom. And freedom was for the nation and the nations and those who believed in the word. We read in John chapter 8, verse 36. So, I'm reading from the Passion Translation. So if the Son, that is Hyros, maybe I'm not pronouncing that right, but it's the Son. This highlights the legal right of the Father's inheritance. Sets you free. Who? Not someone beside you. Not your next door neighbor. But you free from sin. Then become a true Son of God. Unquestionably free. I love this scripture. It says, so if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. I love it. I love it. I love it. Do you know, to be free means to have a different mindset, to do a different way of thinking, to a different understanding. So when the Son sets you free, so when Jesus sets you free, don't bother about looking back again and trying to go back into the past because you've been set free. You've been, the snares and everything else has been turned off, has been cut off, and you've been set free not to be ensnared again. Jesus has given us the legal right of the Father's inheritance and all that that entails as free sons and daughters of Him. Why not live, eat, breathe, sleep, freedom in the way we live, bringing down the strongholds of Satan that we have been given access to our lives when we were ignorant and foolish and didn't know anything better. Jesus has given you and me the complete right to be free and the authority, I love that, the authority to walk in it. Not just to pussyfoot around in it, not just to put your big toes in it, but to walk in the authority of Jesus Christ. Not just for one day, but for all the days of our lives. Don't allow the past to cloud or influence or even to dictate the way or how you react in the present with your newfound freedom in Christ Jesus. It's not a choice, but it's an act of your will, being free in Christ. I declare today, and I'm speaking to myself, I am free in the name of Jesus Christ. I walk in the freedom. I breathe in the freedom. I rejoice in the freedom. I meditate on the freedom. I live life in freedom today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 reads, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Who here today pursues and are passionate lovers of Jesus Christ? I know I am. Then we are told that we are new creations and the old is passed away. What are the old and what are the new? Good question, you might ask. The old ways, think for me it was, I'm stupid, I'm useless. I couldn't do that. I'm too thick, I'm too young. I'm too old, I'm just a wee insignificant person. I'm past it. I'm a man. Maybe if you're a woman, I'm a woman. I'm just a wee boy or a wee girl. I have a stutter. I used to have a stutter. Whenever I talked to people in public, I stuttered no end. Now you can talk to my wife and I don't shut up. But God's taken care of. Thank you, Roz. God's taken care of the stutter. I'm not too small, I'm not too tall, I'm too fat, I'm too thin, I don't have an education, I'm not wealthy, I'm poor, I'm too rich, I don't have enough time, I don't have too many problems, I don't have too many worries, I get stressed at the smallest things, I have medical issues, I have addictions, all these worries, and who else is going to care about them? When we put our trust in Jesus, everything from our past goes. When we place it on the cross, and then once we place all of these problems and issues on the cross, as we turn away, don't go and pick them back up again. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. If that's the case, if we don't do that, then Jesus Christ's death and resurrection was in vain. And we don't have any power and we don't have any authority to walk out as new believers in Christ Jesus. Our enemy, on the other hand, he's in stealth mode. He knows, he stalks each one of us. No one is without exemption. Certainly he knows how to bring up our past, because he can only use or grant, or what we have granted him or allowed him to access in our lives. He only resurrects our failures, our flops, our past, and how good it was before Jesus came into our lives, trying to trip us up to focus our attention on him rather than on the Lord. That's his goal, that's his aim, and that's his purpose for every single man, woman, and child today. But don't despair. We have a great example through Jesus Christ. When Satan tempted Jesus after fasting 40 days, Satan was so subtle. He even used scriptures to try and have Jesus bow down and worship him. Oh, I love what Jesus did. He quoted scripture right back. He didn't get into an argument. He didn't get into a theological debate. He just quoted the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. As children of God, you must come and realize who you are as his child, who you've been called to, and what authority has been you've been entrusted with. What is your destiny? What is your calling? Where you eat, live, drink, and sleep. Psalm 118, verse 5 says, out of my distress, terrors that overwhelm me, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. And that word for called, I looked it up, and in the Hebrew it's ana, which means to answer, to respond, to testify, to speak, to shout. It's made up of three different letters in the Hebrew. The word is ayin, or ayin, nun, and hey. Ayin is the eye, fountain or spring. The nun is seed, and we've heard from Roz and we've heard from Sharon about the seed that's in our lives through the mustard seed. And hey is a behold, look, and a window. So my way of looking at it is this. It could be look intently with your eyes, with a seed of faith in the ability of God to open up the windows of heaven and pour down upon you, for he is your resource. Too often we go around from hand to mouth, having our own immediate needs met. Too many times, when I was young in the faith, I was like a busy bee jumping from one speaker to another, being told that you had to seek out gold nuggets from of God, and with no real foundations or structures in my life. I continued doing my own thing until a need arose, and panic. Oh God, I need your help right now. Right now. It's a bit like the BBC's Dad's Army. When Private Dunn would come in and say, yeah, Captain Mannering, Captain Mannering, no need to panic, no need to panic. And he's the first one to panic, and you knew something was happening. In those days, there wasn't much discipleship, there wasn't much mentoring, as there is like today. You were left to actually clean the stuff for yourself or pick up stuff. Learning that through my life's issues and troubles, God was and is a constant and steady, was constant and steady, and wasn't going away at any time. There were times when I brought those distresses upon myself because of the choices I made. Some good choices, some bad advice. But I brought them on myself because I made those choices. But when we have the Lord as our source, as our help, as our strength, we can call on Him in times of help, or in times of distress, in times of anxiety, in times of oppression, in times of fear, in times of in moments of fear. And He answers us. That's the best thing. He answers us. Yet, do we actually listen to God? Is God our first port of call? For He cares for us. He cares for, and worries. He cares for us and He for our worries, whether they are tiny or humongous. Psalm 56, verse 3 reads, what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. Right there is putting God first in everything. No panic, no look into this one, look into that one. Putting God first. It could read like this: what time I am fearful, I put my trust in you. What time I am worried, I put my trust in you. What time I am depressed, I put my trust in you. What time I am anxious, what time I have health issues, I put my trust in you. And you could put in your own what time you are worried, fearful, needing finances. You could put your own issue there. I put my trust in you. That is the key, putting our trust in the Lord. Maybe that's not how we think, or maybe that's not how we've been taught, or how we should answer, or how we expect Him to respond. But He does hear our cries. If only we are listening to what Papa God is saying, be open and not stubborn, allowing ourselves to yield to His Holy Spirit, yield to the ways and His purpose, life would be so much better. In the latter part of Psalm 118, verse 5, it says that He sets us free. In the original, it says He places us into a large place. That's more than enough for what He wants to accomplish in us and through us in our lives. Isaiah 61, verse 1 reads, the Spirit, oh, come on, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Do you have the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord in you and on you and through you today? Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. The Lord has anointed me. Has he anointed you? Has he sent you? Has he sent you to proclaim, what is it, freedom and liberty to those who are held in captives and bondages, prisoners? Is a well-known scripture and what it represents to us as we read it. I know that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me today, right here, right now. Do you know that knowledge? Do you have that knowledge that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is resting upon you, anointed you and set you or commissioned you because of the way you live in fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Do you have the anointing to bring love, grace, mercy, and joy, the joy of freedom in Jesus Christ, to those who are depressed, low, or hurting, worried, or addicted? To wrap around those who have been or have been crushed, destroyed, or have been, who suffer breakdowns or suffering from depression, to declare and decree freedom that is free flowing with no hindrances or restrictions, no limits. It's a bit like the Hebrew term for living waters, Mayim Chaim, free flowing and moving, untouched by man's intervention. To all who need or require it, Jesus came to set us free. Freedom for those who were captives and prisoners, free from the guilt of the past, free from failures, free from the shame, from rejection, free mentally, free physically, free emotionally, free spiritually, free from so many other things, free from poverty, being orphaned, being mistrusted and corruption, free in body, soul and mind, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 8:31-32 reads, "When you continue to embrace all that I teach you, prove that you are my disciples. So if the Son sets you free, then you become a true son and unquestionably free." It says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." That is such an amazing statement. Wow. Just sometimes you have got to rest on that there, and declare it and believe it and rest. When the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Just take a time and take a moment and rest in that. Wow. Wow. Psalm 119 states in verse 45, "I walk in freedom, for I have sought your precepts." You know, I choose today to walk in freedom. It's an act again of my will. What would you like to walk around in? Freedom? Or controlled or manipulated by this thing or that thing? Or worried about this financial need or this problem or this health issue? Having your mind, having your emotions totally free, your thoughts totally free. What would it feel like? How would you hear, Papa God? How would you think? How would you see? How would you move? But you say, "Come on, Victor. You haven't been through what I've been through. You don't know my circumstances. You don't know how I've been abused, how I've been neglected, how I've been mistreated, how I've been overlooked. I can't be free from this. It's too difficult. I've been through so many things and been depressed, been suicidal, been abused and everything I got there. But through it all, Jesus Christ led me and brought me out and brought me into a place of freedom. That those things that have happened to me in the past, happened in the past. Christ has dealt with them. Christ has worked his amazing grace in me and on me and through me. there will still be times when in the future there may be issues arise that will need dealt with. I'm certainly open for them dealing with, being dealt with. But Jesus has come and sets you free today. I know the Father is constantly pouring more and more love upon you and upon me as he continues to do so today. As I began to receive the love of Father God, I received the freedom also in Jesus Christ that he had paid for me day by day, moment by moment. Sometimes we are willing to change, or sometimes we are willing for change, but to allow ourselves to be transformed might be a little bit harder, because we like our pet issues or our keepsake problems too much, or our health issues or our supports or our scaffolding and not God. Papa God is loving, patient with us, and kind and gentle. And it comes down to our choice. Each one of us has a choice today, whether we will or whether we don't, that we walk in freedom, that I make a choice this day to walk in freedom. I will not partner with anything that will clog up or bind up or shut up the freedom that I have received freely that is in Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 5 verse 1 reads, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty or freedom wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled or snared up or caught up or distracted again with the yoke of bondage." Staccato is the word for stand in Greek. It means to stand, to persevere, to persist, to keep one standing. A Roman soldier would be instructed how to stand in the place when the enemy would come against him, and he would be taught how to wriggle his feet into the ground so that he would be grounded either in the soil or on rock, so that whenever the enemy would come, he would not be able to be pushed back, but he would stand his ground. And so often we need to be able to stand our ground in the face of our enemy. I love the song. There's a line from one of the song that the rugby team from Ireland sing. It's the song Ireland's Call, and they sing it together with their standing shoulder to shoulder. It says, "Together standing tall, not with our heads bowed down, but standing tall with the righteousness of God in our lives, with the freedom of Christ in our lives, shoulder to shoulder. We will," it says, "we will answer Ireland's call." We were, and you could say in England, "we will answer England's call." You could say in Wales, "we could answer Wales' call." In Scotland, "we could answer Scotland's call." No, wherever you stand today, shoulder to shoulder. Not a lot can get through when you stand shoulder to shoulder. Everyone has got each other's back, and that should be the way. Where are you standing shoulder to shoulder? And with who are you standing with? And where is your call? Is your feet grounded and set upon the rock? Or is it in the sands of shifting sands that moves this way and that? Have your feet rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, so no matter what comes against you, no matter what takes place, you can't be pushed off, you can't be pushed back. I remember reading a book by Watchman Nee, and it wasn't The Spiritual Man, although I love The Spiritual Man. It's a book called Sit, Walk, Stand. And I always thought you had to stand first of all. But through Brother Watchman Nee, he said you have to sit first in God's presence and commune with him. And once you're able to sit in God's presence, to soak in his abundance, then you can begin to walk with God, talking with Him daily, communicating with Him, and having communion with Him. And then finally, once you've understood how to sit in God's presence and soak in His anointing and His love, and begin to talk and walk daily in His communion, then you can stand. And you have then the ability to stand in the freedom in Christ. Standing on the Word of God. Standing on the promises of God. Declaring and decreeing the Word of the Lord over your circumstances, over your trials, over your family, over your children, over your businesses, over your employers, over your work colleagues, over your classmates, over everything. You come from a place of being in right relationship with Father God. John 8 verse 31 says, if you embrace the truth, it will release true freedom into your lives. Whenever I was growing up, it was kind of difficult for men to show their emotions or to embrace. I would never have had a hug or held by my father. And I missed that. But God says He wants to embrace us with His truth. He wants us as well as His sons and His daughters to embrace the truth of His word that causes us to be set free. The word eletheros in the Greek, it says to make free, to set at liberty from the dominion of sin. What a statement of truth right there. I love the Passion Translation, the way it puts the words down. Embrace the truth. I love embracing people, to love on them, but also to pour into their lives, to shower them with the goodness of God, to embrace and put the truth of God into them. Because as you walk in the truth, you release the truth wherever you go. Embrace is not just taking things a wee bit too far, is it, Victor? Is it being radical? But when Jesus was talking to the hearers, they would have known when you embrace someone, you lay open your heart, you become vulnerable and open when you embrace the truth of God's word and allow the word to marinate in your very being. Just as so as you embrace and wrap yourself around the truth of God, the truth of what Jesus has accomplished and the truth of abiding, the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, then that releases true freedom into your life as you respond to the truth. The word and the spirit, they change your mind, your emotions, your will, your attitudes, your fears, your worries, your dislikes, and your wants into what does the Lord desire for your life and what it's going to take to fulfill His destiny and calling and purpose upon your life. Some people embrace truth, they struggle. Others snuggle up to the truth and yield their members to the truth because it sets you free. It says it's free from sin. What is sin? It simply means to miss the mark. It's from a time when an archer would draw his bow and put the arrow in and shoot at a target. And if he missed the mark or went past the target, he was told that he sinned. He didn't get the target. If you have doubt and fear or worry, if you tell lies, if you have trust issues, have unforgiveness, if you have bitterness or been abused or an abuser or anger or a murderer, if you have deceit or if you have lust issues, if you have addictions, so many addictions, it's amazing. You can have drugs, sex, impulse buying, adrenaline junkies and so much more. If you have any of these or some of them, take a moment and have time with Jesus, then question yourself. What is your priority as a born-again, spirit-filled, baptized in the Holy Spirit believer of Jesus Christ? What is your first priority? And from that, what does everything else flow from? It's going back to what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 38. So if the Son sets you free from sin, if we are walking around with all the issues on us, it's affecting our minds, our emotions, the way we think, the way we feel and pray, the way we perceive and understand things. We are judging things from a twisted and screwed up way, rather than walking in the pure and right relationship with Father through the help of the Holy Spirit. Let's be the ones who are living our lives in freedom of the Holy Spirit. That would be quite dangerous. God, that would be hilarious sometimes. Galatians chapter 5:13 says, God has called us to live a life of freedom in the Holy Spirit. I love that. Are you living a life in the freedom of the Holy Spirit today? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit. Whoa! And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Whoa boy, there's freedom. There's such freedom and such liberty. You could bask in that. You could have that as your memory verse for the next decade. And you'd still be coming into a new way of freedom, a new sense of freedom, a new found liberty. Just allowing the Spirit of the Lord to come on you and bring freedom into the way you walk, live, eat, move, and think. As we break free from things that have been holding us back, we are instructed, or should I say commanded, to sing to the Lord in our desperation, in our worries, in our anxieties, our stresses, our doubtings, in our needs, our battles, in our problems, in our healthish needs, in our healings, in our finances. Since Jesus took our sins, that is, each and every one who has been on the earth, past, present, and future, know this, that if you know Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord, you have been set free from sin. That's not my words, but that's what the word of the Lord says. Romans chapter 6 verse 7 reads, for he who has died has been set free from sin. When we come to Jesus Christ, we have died to ourselves. We have died to our own old lifestyle. So Jesus says we have been set free from sin. Let's walk in freedom today. Let's walk in complete freedom. Each day we live and breathe as sons and daughters of the King, of King Jesus. We need to keep short accounts of our bloopers, of our mess ups, that we can walk out with Papa God in perfect love, having been washed and cleansed in his word by the truth in our lives, declaring that I am the righteousness of God. The word of the Lord for our lives, not doubting, but believing it. Romans 8 verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. What a statement that makes. Set you free. Set you free. Broken off the chains, broken off the strings, broken off the controls, broken off everything to set you free. We are free today to come before the Lamb of God. We are free to come in adoration, in praise, in honoring Papa God, in blessings, in worship, in bowing down before him, in laying prostrate before the Lord our God, in lifting up holy hands, in righteousness, and we come before him in glory and strength and majesty. We come before the throne of God. Why? Because we are free. As Jesus said, that we are no longer slaves. But he calls us intimate friends in John 15:15. Coming to him as sons and daughters. Without any hang-ups, guilts, stresses, woes, or addictions. Called us to be who we are in him. Not merely think it. Who we're supposed to be or to be like. But follow God in everything. Too many times the gospel of Jesus has been watered down to suit people's needs, to our wants, or to please, don't offend anyone with what you say. That would be totally unforgivable or rude and not very Christian-like. The gospel is radical. It's challenging. It's provoking. It's transforming. And it comes wrapped up in God's desires for his sons and daughters to be able to walk out their lives in total freedom. Just like his son and our Savior Jesus Christ did. And he gave us an example to follow. If you've a problem following someone today, read about how Jesus obeyed the Father and how he followed his example. Jesus is our example today. Follow him. You'll not go wrong. You'll not get hung up. You'll not go wrong. You'll be set free. Totally. Today as we finish, if you have any issues and that you find hard to deal with, I would love to pray for you, or even to say this prayer for issues or things that you've been struggling with. It's not a quick fix or a get out of jail card, but it's a help to following or allowing Father God to come into those areas and allow the issues that pull you down and break those ties and snares from your past to be totally set free of them. And today, as we just finish off, I've got just a prayer to say. And you can take this prayer, you can read it, and or if you want to email one of the leaders here, I'll put it up on the notice board, and you'll be able to use this prayer, so that you may need to go through it several times, because you may have many, many issues, or you may have many circumstances to walk through. But God says he's come to set us free. Free in your body, free in your mind, and free in your soul. Because Jesus says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. John 8, verse 36, as I finish this. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Not my words, but God's words. You are free. So who's your accuser? Who's those that accuse you? Say, you're this and you're this and you're this. Turn round to them and say, if Jesus Christ has told me that I am free, then I am free. And who are you to tell me otherwise? God's word says, I am free. Amen. Amen.